USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The president is exploring the mechanisms to remove security clearance because they've politicized and in some cases monetized their public service and security clearances.
White House Press Chief Sarah Sanders saying President Trump is thinking about revoking the security clearances of at least a half dozen former national security officials, including former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, who reacted to CNN at the news. Former wrestling coaches at Ohio State University are standing up for Republican Congressman Jim Jordan,
the president, which I think are born out of genuine concerns.
Call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435, andro400.com.
Former wrestling coaches at Ohio State University are standing up for Republican Congressman Jim Jordan, as Jordan is fending off accusations he ignored allegations of sexual abuse by an ex-team doctor. Jordan was an assistant wrestling coach at the university at a time when some former wrestlers claimed they were abused by the doctor. Former head wrestling coach Russ Hellickson and five assistant coaches say it's absolutely wrong to say that Jordan knew about any alleged abuse, as they say none of them saw or heard of any wrestler being abused by the doctor, and that if they had, they all would have spoken up. Jordan has denied the claims against him. Firefighters making big progress finally against the largest wildfire burning in California. That fire in Northern California's Napa and Yolo counties now 75% contained, and crews expect to have full containment by Thursday. The county fire has burned over 90,000 acres. And this is USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra-long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
More now on our top story as USA Radio's Robin Walensky takes a closer look at President Trump's Supreme Court nominee.
If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case, and I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh from the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is President Trump's pick to fill the open slot on the Supreme Court, to fill Justice Kennedy's seat now that he's retiring.
Justice Kennedy devoted his career to securing liberty. I am deeply honored to be nominated to fill his seat on the Supreme Court.
Kavanaugh, who went to Yale undergrad and Yale Law, is 53 years old, married with two daughters.
No president has ever consulted more widely or talked with more people from more backgrounds to seek input about a Supreme Court nomination.
Again, that report prepared by USA Radio's Robin Walensky. Costco is ditching its traditional Polish hot dog in its food courts for healthier options. Many Costco food courts cutting that Polish dog from the menu to make room for items like acai fruit bowl and organic burgers. Many people are upset about this news, but the original all-beef hot dog combo will still be available. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Well, the time is 10:04. It's time for Huntington Chamber Radio weather. Fleming, right now we have an air quality orange alert, so no strenuous activity, and those who have trouble breathing should take especially care with the young children, people who have lung, heart issues, and the elderly. It's 85 right now, clear skies. There's no rain in the forecast for the foreseeable future. Sunny today and a high of 92 for July 10th. Winds will be west at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies and a stray shower or thunderstorm tonight is possible, a high of 66. Sunshine, 86 tomorrow. And then interval of clouds and sunshine with a stray shower possible on Thursday. The high will be 83. A few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny, 88 on Friday. Partly cloudy skies in the morning will give way to occasional showers in the afternoon on Saturday, 88. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy, a stray shower, thunderstorm possible, 89. Temperatures in the area. We have 86 in Raritan, 86 at the county complex, 80 in Kingwood, 83 in Doylestown, 80 in Frenchtown, 81 in Easton, 81 in Asbury, 82 in Tewksbury, 82 in Washington Township, and it says 77 right now over in Bridgewater. We'll be right back with Tech Today in just a moment on HuntingtonRadio.com, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Today on HuntingtonChamber.com, the voice of business. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time for his or her business. We do that by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers and business people seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or when hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Segments will include technology news, latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook and message me there. Email me at goodmorning@huntingtonchamber.com. The phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. To contact me outside the show, bluepantherbiz.com is my website. And you can learn all about me there. All right, guys, welcome to Tech Today. It's nice to be with you. We went through Independence Day. And Gosh, last week we talked about drones being used instead of fireworks in events. So this week we got lots of things still to talk about. Technology is always evolving. Big thing that's happening today is the world of scooters. And there's a big rush to get to scooters in the world of cities. And there's competition happening on there. TechCrunch and Connie Loizos wrote an hour ago that with Lime teaming up with Uber, can rival Bird afford to go it alone? Yesterday, we learned that 18-month-old Bay Area-based electric scooter rental company Lime is joining forces with the ride-hailing giant Uber, which is both investing at the company as part of a $335 million round and planning to promote Lime in its mobile app. According to Bloomberg, Uber also plans to plaster its logo on Lime scooters. Lime isn't being acquired outright, in short, but it looks like it will be. At least Uber struck a similar arrangement with the electric bike company Jump Bikes before spending $200 million to acquire the company in spring. There are as many questions raised by this kind of tie-up as answered, but the biggest may be what the pact means for Lime's fiercest rival in the e-scooter wars. 15-month-old L.A.-based Bird, who served, sources tell us, also discussed a potential partnership with Uber. Despite recently raising $300 million in fresh capital at the somewhat stunning $2 billion valuation, could its goose be cooked? At first glance, it would appear so. Uber's travel app is the most downloadable in the U.S. by a wide margin, despite gains made last year by its closest U.S. competition, Lyft. As Uber battled one scandal after another, it's easy to imagine that Lime's integration with Uber will give it the kind of immediate brand and reach that most founders can only dream about. A related issue for Bird is its relationship with Lyft, which isn't great. Bird's founder and CEO, Travis Van Der Zanden, burned that bridge when not so long ago after Lyft acquired Van Der Zanden from a small startup he'd launched and made him its COO. He left to join rival Uber. Lyft sued him for alleged breaking a confidentiality agreement when he joined Uber, and the two sides later settled for undisclosed terms. But given their history, it's hard to imagine Lyft, which also has a much smaller checkbook than Uber, paying top dollar to acquire Bird. Where that leaves the company is an open question. But people familiar with both Bird and Lime suggest the e-scooter world is far from over. For example, though Uber sees its partnership with Lime as another step towards our vision of becoming a one-stop shop for all your transportation needs, two sources familiar with Bird's thinking are quick to underscore its plans to intend expand internationally quickly and not merely fight a turf war in the U.S. That Sequoia Capital led Bird's most recent round of funding helps on this front, given Sequoia Capital China's growing dominance in the country and the relationship that go with it. Then again, Sequoia is also an investor in Uber, having acquired a stake in the company earlier this year, and alliances are generally temperamental in this brave new world of transportation. In just the latest unexpected twist, Lime's newest round included not only Uber, but also GV, the venture arm of Alphabet, which also recently resolved a lawsuit with Uber. Another wrinkle to consider is the exposure that Lime receives from Uber, which could prove double-edged given the company's ups and downs. Uber's new CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, appears determined to steer the company to a smooth and decidedly undramatic public offering in another year or so. But for a company of Uber's scale and scope, that's a challenge. To say the least, its newest hire, Scott Schools, a former top attorney at the U.S. Justice Department and now Uber's chief compliance officer, will undoubtedly be tasked with minimizing the odds of things going astray. Yet it's Lime's very arrangement with Uber that could potentially create the greatest opportunity for Bird. First, by agreeing to allow Uber to apply its branding to its scooters, Lime may be diluting its own brand. Even if Uber never acquires the company, riders will allocate brand with Uber and think, for good or bad, that is a subsidiary. Further, Uber does not appear to have made any promises to Lime in terms of how prominently its app is featured when its own mobile app, which already clams a lot, quite a lot in. From allowing free ride coupons to featuring local offers to promoting its Uber Eats business. Consider that in January 2017, Google added the ability to book an Uber ride to both the Android and iOS versions of its Google Maps service. Uber might have thought that a coup too at the time, but last summer, Google quietly removed that feature from its iOS app, and it removed the service from Android just last month. If there wasn't much outrage over the decision, likely it's because so few users of Google Maps noticed the feature in the first place. Lime's arrangement could prove more advantageous. Only time will tell. But everything considered, whether or not Bird flies away with the competition will likely owe less to Lime's new arrangement with Uber than with its own ability to execute. So the scooter wars are happening. We're starting to blend scooter with social transportation. And it wouldn't surprise me at some point that bicycles get in the middle of this as well. And then eventually potential buses. What's going to be interesting to me is as we get to driverless cars, what's really going to happen. So all this is short-lived, unfortunately. But we'll see. Very interesting stuff. So Uber, Lime, Lyft, and Bird are all in the news, and it's happening in the major cities at this point, but it's coming to a theater near you soon. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You'll listen to Tech Today.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And welcome back to Tech Today on HunterdonChamber.com, the voice of business. This is WHCR-DB, And I'm Chris Bianco, talking to you about technology for the rest of this hour. We'll go on to Staying Young and La Salud Mental Importa happening on noon. All right, we move on to some more technology. And, you know, we've been talking about giving up your privacy and somehow providing access to social apps for some features, but you got to realize that there's more to it than that. The New York Times reports that Facebook's push for facial recognition prompts a privacy alarm. Written by Natasha Singer on July 9th, Natasha says that when Facebook rolled out facial recognition tools in European Union this year, it promoted the technology as a way to help people safeguard their online identities. Face recognition technology allows us to help protect you from a stranger using your photo to impersonate you, Facebook told its users in Europe. It was a risky move by the social network. 6 years earlier, it had deactivated the technology in Europe after regulators then raised questions about its facial recognition consent system. Now, Facebook is reintroducing this service as part of an update of its user permission process in Europe. Yet, Facebook is taking a huge reputational risk in aggressively pushing the technology at a time when its data mining practices are under heightened scrutiny in the United States and Europe. Already more than a dozen privacy and consumer groups and at least a few officials argue that the company's use of facial recognition has violated people's privacy by not obtaining appropriate user consent. The complaints add to the barrage of criticism facing the Silicon Valley giant over its handling of user personal details. Several American government agencies are currently investigating Facebook's response to the harvesting of its user data by Cambridge Analytica, a political consulting firm. Facebook's push to spread facial recognition also puts the company at the center of a broader and intensifying debate about how the powerful technology should be handled. The technology can be used to remotely identify people by name without their knowledge or consent, while proponents view it as a high-tech tool to catch criminals. Civil liberties experts warn it could enable a mass surveillance system. Facial recognition works by scanning faces by unnamed people in photos or videos, and then matching codes of their face pattern to those in a database of named people. Facebook has said that users are in charge of that process, telling them you control face recognition. But critics say people cannot actually control the technology because Facebook scans their faces in photos even when their facial recognition setting is turned off. Facebook tries to explain their practices in ways that make Facebook look like the good guy, but they are somehow protecting your privacy, said Jennifer Lynch, a senior staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a digital rights group. But it doesn't get at the fact that they are scanning every photo. Rochelle Nadhira, a Facebook spokeswoman, said its system analyzes faces in users' photos to check whether they match with those who have their facial recognition setting turned on. If the system cannot find the match, she said it does not identify the unknown face and immediately deletes the facial data. At the heart of the issue is Facebook's approach to common consent. In the European Union, a tough new data protection law called the General Data Protection Regulation now requires companies to obtain explicit, freely given consent before collecting sensitive data like facial data. Some critics, including the former government official who originally proposed the new law, contend that Facebook tried to improperly influence user consent by promoting facial recognition in an identified protection tool. Facebook is somehow threatening me, and if I do not buy into face recognition, I will be in danger, said Viviane Reding, the former Justice Commissioner of the European Commission, who is now a member of the European Parliament. It goes completely against the European law because it tries to manipulate consent. European regulators also have concerns about Facebook's facial recognition practices. In Ireland, where Facebook's international headquarters are, a spokeswoman for the Data Protection Commission said regulators, quote, have put a number of specific queries to Facebook in respect to this technology, unquote. Regulators were assessing Facebook's responses, she said. In the United States, Facebook is fighting a lawsuit brought by Illinois residents claiming the company's face recognition practices violated a state privacy law. Damages in the case, certified as a class action in April, could amount to billions of dollars. In May, an appeals court granted Facebook's request to delay the trial and review the claim certification order. Nikki Sokol, Associate General Counsel at Facebook, said in a statement, "This lawsuit is without merit, and we will defend ourselves vigorously." Separately, privacy and consumer groups lodged a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission in April, saying that Facebook added facial recognition services like the feature to help identify impersonators without obtaining prior consent from people before turning it on. The groups argued that Facebook violated a 2011 consent decree that prohibits it from deceptive privacy practices. Facebook routinely makes misrepresentations to induce consumers to adopt wider and more pervasive uses of facial recognition technology, the complaint said. Ms. Nadira and Facebook have designed the consent process to comply with the new European law and had previewed its approach with European regulators. As to the privacy group's complaint, she said the social network had notified users about expanded facial recognition services. This article continues to go on, but basically it boils down to this, folks. And this is part that I get, I've identified with for years with helping people and divisions write software. There is opt-in and there's opt-out. This seems to have this opt-in mechanism. Facebook is going to have a process that's going to generically do the same thing over and over and over again. It's going to capture your face, and then it's going to go and find out whether it should keep it. In the world of technology, that's very inefficient because you're capturing this data and then purging it, so we say. Whereas you could write the code in another way, which is check to see whether you should do the facial recognition, and then if it is available, do it. That's different. So that's the first thing that's disturbing about this. The second one is the game playing that goes on where the laws are written, and quite honestly, I don't think governments get enough people on their teams to think through the pervasive branches of technology. It's kind of like you don't know what you don't know. And as soon as they write the law, you get these companies to figure out a way to navigate around it. Because as soon as the law is written in a specific manner, now the fence has been drawn, and Facebook and others can come up with a process that circumvents it. It still abides by the law, but it doesn't abide by the basis of the law. And so that's what's disturbing about all this. And we'll see if this is going to continue, where it's going to go. But this is where we continue to move into. More features. And as soon as we have more features, we have more privacy concerns. And if you didn't catch on, When these things are milling about in the world of databases, it's not much for a company to use that database to now work it into surveillance, to work it into alerts, to work it into medicine. So all of a sudden it can get very dicey as soon as the technology is perfected. So be aware that these things are very troubling, tough decisions, because we want to get better technology, but we also want to maintain privacy, and those two things somehow don't go together all the time. Time for us to take another break. We'll do the news, and I'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment. You're listening to Tech Today, and we are on HunchInBrew.com, WHCRDB, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The big reveal at the White House last night as President Trump nominates D.C. Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh to succeed retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy.
There is no one in America more qualified for this position and no one more deserving.
The 53-year-old Kavanaugh has been a judge on the Federal Appeals Court in Washington, D.C. since 2006, and he's also taught law.
For the past 11 years, I've taught hundreds of students, primarily at Harvard Law School. I teach that the Constitution's separation of powers protects individual liberty.
Efforts to rescue the last four boys and their soccer coach who've been trapped in a cave in Thailand for 16 days have resumed. The eight boys who've been rescued so far are said to be in pretty good shape. This is USA Radio News.
Listen to what Chris said about Andro 400.
I've lost almost 40 pounds in 10 weeks. My son was getting married, and when I went for the suit fitting, I was a size 48. And when I went back to do the final fitting, I was a 44. I have more energy, that's for sure. I probably lost 4 inches around my belly. I'm 57, and I'm back when I was in my 30s.
Here's what Dwayne said about Andro 400.
This product really works. I'm an old guy and I don't trust nobody. And I've tried all kinds of stuff. It's one of the few things I've ever bought that works. I couldn't believe it. I feel better. I have more energy. I walk 12 miles a day. I feel great. It changed my life. It really has. It's really incredible.
Guys, if you'd like to lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435. Andro400.com.
Former wrestling coaches at Ohio State University are standing up for Republican Congressman Jim Jordan as Jordan is fending off accusations he ignored allegations of sexual abuse by an ex-team doctor. Jordan was an assistant wrestling coach at the university at a time when some former wrestlers claimed they were abused by the doctor. Former head wrestling coach Russ Hellickson and five assistant coaches say it's absolutely wrong to say that Jordan knew about any alleged abuse, as they say none of them saw or heard of any wrestler being abused by the doctor, and that if they had, they all would have spoken up. Jordan has denied the claims against him. Firefighters making big progress finally against the largest wildfire burning in California. That fire in Northern California's Napa and Yolo counties now 75% contained, and crews expect to have full containment by Thursday. The county fire has burned over 90,000 acres. And this is USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra-long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
More now on our top story as USA Radio's Robin Walensky takes a closer look at President Trump's Supreme Court nominee.
If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case, and I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh from the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is President Trump's pick to fill the open slot on the Supreme Court to fill Justice Kennedy's seat now that he's retiring.
Justice Kennedy devoted his career to securing liberty. I am deeply honored to be nominated to fill his seat on the Supreme Court.
Kavanaugh, who went to Yale undergrad and Yale law, is 53 years old, married with two daughters.
No president has ever consulted more widely or talked with more people from more backgrounds to seek input about a Supreme Court nomination.
Again, that report prepared by USA Radio's Robin Walensky. Costco is ditching its traditional Polish hot dog in its food courts for healthier options. Many Costco food courts cutting that Polish dog from the menu to make room for items like acai fruit bowl and organic burgers. Many people are upset about this news, but the original all-beef hot dog combo will still be available. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
It's 10:34. It's time for more of Hunter Chamber Radio Tech Today. We're on WHCR-DB, HunterChamber.com. Lots more to talk about. Technology constantly evolving. Samsung has a leak. And it's about its new S10 phone that's coming out. Got this from BGR.com. And this is pretty interesting. Just goes to show you how cheap cameras are nowadays. Zach Epstein reports on the 9th that Samsung's Galaxy S10 Plus will have 5 cameras, and a new leak explains them all. Samsung's current generation flagship phones are less than 4 months old at this point, but they're already about to be forgotten by many smartphone fans. With the S9 and S9 Plus, Samsung chose to reuse last year's Galaxy S design. That might not have been such a big deal if the company added some exciting new features to the phones in order to encourage people to upgrade. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Instead, they merely feature incremental improvements compared to last year's S8 and S8 Plus. And sales have been very slow as a result. The S9 and S9 Plus saw the prices slashed at 3 of the top 4 wireless carriers in the United States within a month of their release, and they dragged down Samsung's otherwise impressive second quarter earnings as well. Fortunately, Samsung has thriving component business to help offset the impact of slow flagship phone sales. The Galaxy Note 9, set to debut at a press conference on August 9th, is expected to be more of the same. Featuring last year's Galaxy Note 8 design and a new S Pen and better specs. Fortunately for Samsung fans, however, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it grows brighter with each passing day. The Galaxy S10 is shaping up to be the most exciting new smartphone Samsung has created in years, and a fresh leak on Monday morning reveals the details about one of the Galaxy S10 Plus model's most intriguing new features. Samsung S10 lineup is perhaps the most hotly anticipated smartphone series of 2019 at this point. That's in a bold statement, or make considering we're expecting several redesigned iPhone models to be released next year. We don't really know anything about Apple's 2019 iPhone lineup at this point, though, so there's no reason to be excited about them yet. Meanwhile, each day brings us closer and closer to having a clear picture of Samsung's next-generation S10 lineup. Just as Apple plans to release 3 new iPhone models in coming September, we're expecting 3 new Galaxy S10 models to debut earlier next year, according to rumors from Wilby main S10 model, a lower-cost entry-level S10, and even a larger S10 Plus phablet is around the corner. And as we might expect, it's the Galaxy S10 Plus that's expected to be the most exciting of the bunch. The Galaxy S10 Plus is rumored to have a bunch of great new features to common with smaller S10 models, such as a new infinity display design with smaller bezels and an optical fingerprint sensor embedded underneath the screen. But the star of the show on the Galaxy S10 Plus is expected to be the camera setup, which will help set the phablet apart from the pack and likely also help justify a sky-high price tag.
We have heard in the past that Galaxy S10 Plus will feature a new triple lens camera system on the back of the phone. But it was unclear exactly what the third sensor would bring to the table. Now, a new report from Korean language business news site, The Bell, might finally shed some light on the S10 Plus unique near camera setup. On top of that, the report suggests that the phone will have dual front-facing cameras, as well as bumping up the phone's camera count to a total of 5. Around back, the report states that the upcoming Galaxy S10 will feature a dual-lens system that is similar to the one that currently included in the S9 Plus, but will add a new ultra-wide-angle lens to the mix. Specifically, the Bell says, we can expect a 12-megapixel wide-angle sensor, a 12-megapixel telephoto lens sensor for optical zoom and portrait mode photos, and a new 16-megapixel ultra-wide-angle sensor. The report notes that the main wide-angle camera has a 77-degree lens, while the new ultra-wide camera will have a 120-degree angle view. According to the report, the front-facing camera set up on the new S10 will be similar to what we have already seen on Galaxy S9. It's apparently feature a standard camera sensor and a secondary telephoto sensor that will enable portrait mode selfies with a blurred background, similar to what you would see in photos captured from a DSLR. It's the same effect that was first introduced by Apple on iPhone 7 in 2010, and they've been replicating on dozens of Android phones ever since. Samsung's new Galaxy S10 lineup will reportedly be unveiled sooner rather than later next year. In fact, the phones may default to a special press conference that will take place during CES 2019. Samsung's new Galaxy S phones typically debut in the late February at the annual Mobile World Congress trade show, but the company is reportedly introducing a third new flagship phone series in Barcelona next year, the foldable Galaxy X line. So lots of stuff happening. Cameras. Funny thing, right? We continue to want to have privacy, but yet somehow, some way, we are taking more photos than ever. Remarkable stuff. So that's the S10 coming up in the near future. What else do we have that I need to get to you before we take our next break? YouTube says it has a plan to steer to stern the flow of misinformation videos. The problem crops up almost every time there's a big breaking news story. People post videos full of misinformation on YouTube, whether the fake news makers are trying to spread propaganda or just make a quick buck. This effect is the same. The videos are confusing users who just want accurate information. Now YouTube says it's taking action against the kind of exploitation of breaking news situations. We're making changes to put more authoritative content in front of people, YouTube Chief Product Officer Neil Moen told reporters on Monday. At a press event in New York, the world's biggest video website outlined a number of improvements and investments, all designed to show that it is an ally of news publishers. Reporters at the event expressed skepticism about how YouTube determines what's authoritative, but some of the changes are promising. Moen said YouTube's recommendation engine has been tweaked so that the news-related searches will show results much more reliable outlets. He acknowledged the problems that have cropped up in the wake of school shootings and other tragedies when videos full of conspiracy theories and other nonsense were served up to unsuspecting viewers. It's very early to quickly produce and upload low-quality videos spreading misinformation around a developing news event, he said. It's harder to produce an accurate and information video in the same time frame. So something Moen called a new information panel will appear at the top of search results around developing news stories. It's activated in the immediate aftermath of an event. Whether they are recommendation video first, the algorithm will point to the text-based story surfaced by Google News. Results may be accompanied by a label reminding users that the story is still developing and the info is subject to change. Moen said the new features are in effect in 17 countries, including the U.S., and we're looking to double that number in the coming months. Other topics that are targets of misinformation peddlers, like the moon landing, for instance, will see an increase in related links to sources like Wikipedia, Encyclopedia Britannica. The idea is to surround conspiracy-laden videos with accurate information. The efforts are a part of the $300 million three-year Google News initiative by YouTube's parent company. YouTube says $25 million will be spent on innovative funding, grants for news organizations, and for more support staff at the company. Robert Nissi, YouTube's chief business officer, said YouTube's isn't trying to fund specific news coverage. Neither the grants are about seeding long-term information or sustainable skills or web videos. Nissi also announced a working group for YouTube executives and representatives of the outlets to help us shape the future of news on YouTube. The collaboration speaks to the publishing industry's increasing dependence on tech giants like Google. These relationships are a source of revenue, but also resentment and profound criticism about the future of distribution. Yeah, it's a big challenge. People grab a camera, put up some stuff, and if you don't have a critical thinking idea, then you just buy into whatever you just heard first, and that's a problem. All right, folks, going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, yes!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Good Morning, 100 Chamber Tech today on 100chamber.com. It was in my mind. We're finishing up our show here. We've got some more things to still go over with you, and one of them I want to go over is the world of incognito mode. There's an article here on CNET that talks about YouTube's incognito mode rolls out widely for Android. Keep it secret, keep it safe. And you're going to need to understand the concept of incognito. This is also available on many of the browsers, any type of browsing that you do, especially Google Chrome, there's an incognito mode. And you need to understand the distinction of what you're masking and what you're not. YouTube for Android got an incognito mode in its latest update, allowing you to disable your watch and search history on the app. Now, I'm going to underscore that one more time. Allowing you to disable your watch and search history on the app. You can enable the feature by tapping on your avatar, which will bring up a menu. And there you'll see a turn on incognito option replacing the sign out button. When you turn off incognito or become inactive, your activity from this session will be cleared, and you'll return to the account last used. A message reads, when you tap the option, your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, or your internet service provider. The Google hat and sunglasses icon in the top right hand, your incognito bar at the bottom on the interface will remind you that your activities aren't being recorded. YouTube didn't immediately respond to a request for comment about the mode being added to the iOS versions of the app. So, let's talk about this for a minute. So, you're on your phone or you're on your computer and you're browsing something or you're watching a video. If you're not in incognito mode, there's a number of different points of touch that different organizations have access to. The first one is on the device itself. If you're doing it through a browser, the browser keeps track of the website that you're on. So your browsing history will capture a cookie or will keep a URL of the last visit. So if you're searching for aliens in space and you click OK and you click on a news article about aliens from Mars, that URL, wherever you got it from, is going to be stored in the browsing history of your browser. And you can actually go back. You might think about it a couple weeks later. I remember reading that article. Let me go back and see. And if you remember the time frame when you did it, you can actually go through your history and find the article that you read and bring it back up. So that's the first part. Now, somebody else could get on your computer or from the front or the back and look at the browsing history and see it there. So if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing during school, or doing something that you shouldn't be doing at work, your employer has the ability to get on your computer from the front end or the back end, see the browsing history, and notice that you're on the website you shouldn't be on. Know that. All right. The next step is the server of your employer or of your house. Somehow, some way, a piece of data that's going to come from the website is going to pass through a modem and a router to your phone or your computer. That data and the access to that data is stored somewhere on those routers and on that modem. That's number two. Number three, the modem connects with your internet service provider, whether that is So if you're using Xfinity or Comcast or Spectrum or Verizon, they have a record of the website and the video that you were looking at, because they are the go-between between the actual website and you. And so it passes through their data, passes through their files, passes through their servers. They keep a record of it. Absolutely, they keep a record of it. No matter what you think, they keep a record of it. And even if you don't log on your browser, they still know that it went to your house and your computer because of the IP address of your house and your computer. So don't think that you're anonymous, even if you think you're signing off from things. Number four, the actual internet itself has a number of different servers and routers that are transporting that data all the way to your ISP. They have that information. Number five, the actual ISP, the actual website itself, they have been contacted because you've asked them, you've made a request for their information. They serve that request to you in a little bit of a mail, in a little bit of an envelope. And so they know that you've asked for it on a certain time, a certain place, with a certain IP address. So you'd say, so browsing normally, there's a lot of places that people know exactly what you're doing and knowing how you got there. Incognito. Well, the only thing that you took away is the history on the front part of your computer. That's it. Your router still knows, your modem still knows, your employee's server still knows, the ISP still knows, the internet server still know, and the requested source of the information all still know. Whether you are using Incognito or whether you're not using Incognito, all those places know that you made that request. So if you're watching something or playing a game or doing something illegal, the only place that it's not going to be known is on the browser history of your browser, but all those other places are easily accessed, and the police and the international community can request with a warrant any one of those places to find out whether you have used that information or not. So this world of incognito is a false sense of security. Please realize that you do not, you are not private. You are not incognito. Now, there are ways to scramble some of this, and that's virtual private networks. That's a different option. There's also the possibility of using a Tor browser, T-O-R browser. That also scrambles some of this stuff. It still can be found to you. It takes a lot more time for everybody to figure it out. So if you want to hide what you're doing, VPNs are a better option, and a Tor browser, T-O-R, are the two choices that you need to use. Incognito mode is not going to do you a bunch of good. All right, folks, got to get on out of here. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That is the mission of Tech Today, and hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB.